We have to have training and teaching in life. And training and teaching our young people, our children, our grandparents, teaching our grandchildren and all, goes along with the idea of what we do from day to day. As we find opportunity in life, is this opportunity to be people who serve the cause of God. And how would we do better than to go to what Paul is saying to young Timothy as to how, as a young man, he's to be an example of the believers. There are six topics of area that he mentions to him there in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. In those particular ways that we're talking about, we're talking about things that will really cover a span of most of our lifetimes. Choosing a job, a career that we get into, choosing a mate in marriage that we may marry, choosing a plan of life for us to be true worshipers of God in spirit and in truth, all those kind of things that are so serious, choosing a way in which we would die and meet the Lord on the other side, are a part of these six things that Paul mentions to Timothy, be an example of the believers. Let no man despise your youth. Don't live these examples in such a way, Paul is writing, to have people to despise you in the words that you say, in the manner of life you've chosen to live, in the kind of love that you have espoused to have. Don't let anybody despise you in your basic enthusiasm for life, your spirit, your faith, the way that you truly believe and you speak about what you believe to others. Don't let any man despise you in your purity as you practice your daily walk of life. This particular area in the Bible is an area by which I believe we can benefit greatly in this lesson study tonight as we talk about truth and error. This is a true way of life to follow. Let no man despise your youth. When we find ourselves as adults being despised by our example and we fail to be a good example, it reminds me of several stories of those that I've been told through the years by gospel preachers in various places about folks going along their way and finding themselves being replied to by the children in the back seat who are listening, and they didn't realize that they were being heard as they were speaking what they were speaking. There's an old story in regard to the lady who had a young son. The dad was away from the family and working and everything, and the gospel meeting was coming up. And she invited the preacher to come and be with her and her son to enjoy a meal together before the night service would occur. However, she recognized that the young man had a verbose way of life. He had a way of seeing something and he just couldn't forget it, and he just could not leave it aside. He just had to say something about it or do something about it. And she straightly warned him that this gospel preacher who was coming, she had seen a picture of him, and she knew that he had an abnormally large nose on his face. And she urged him not to look at it, and if he did accidentally see that it was a large nose, where some people have large eye sockets or large ears, he had a large nose. Don't say anything about it. Don't speak about it. Don't laugh at it. Don't point at it. Don't do that. Well, he was assuring her all the time that he listened and he listened properly. And he wouldn't do any of those things she warned him about when the preacher arrived over there for the evening meal. They would eat the meal together. He wouldn't pay attention to anything like that. And along the way, when they got to the meal time, the mother just, she had worked on him for several weeks of time. And she just looked across the table at him one more time. They were sitting in a table in such a way that there was a triangle there. Here was the preacher here. Here was the young man. She was here. And she looked at him and she gave him what you might say was an evil eye, but she gave him another reminder that what I've said, you remember what I've said. And along the way, she then turned to the gospel preacher and said, "Brother Nose, would you care for some mashed potatoes?" Well, it's obvious that we remember things and we have things to come out of our mouths at times that we didn't intend to come out. We just had it in our hearts, in our minds. We were thinking about it. And Brother Nose got a shock right there, but it was a story that nevertheless has made it down the stream of time. There's another story along the way about a father. Sad situation. He came to his son's graveside. There he looked into the casket. There was no need to conduct a service at the church building because the young man had espoused his leaving the faith a long time ago. And he had never been a part of any activities there. And the dad and the mom decided not to conduct that type of a service. Just a graveside interment would do. So along the way, they talked to the funeral directors about this. And they were agreeable to it. Less involved in detail. And it was fine with them to arrive at the cemetery and place the casket on the cemetery gurneys and thereby to lower it into the grave. But this father had a way in which he had to speak on that occasion. And sadly, he said the following words that have come down through history. He walked up to the casket, put his hand upon this corner of the casket, which a lot of people do. It doesn't touch the loved one who's passed away, but it is an idea that satisfies that individual that others see and I feel for this person who's passed away. And he reached forth and touched the casket and said the following words that have come down through history. "Son, I tried so hard to save you, but you would not let me." There are those in life that simply do not allow studies to be done. They do not allow discussions to be held. There is no seriousness about talking of any of these six topics, much less anything else. And it might be sadly to think we tried so hard to save some people, but they just would not let us. Meaning that we try to get them to the Lord, try to get them to see Jesus' love for them and how they could obey the gospel and be saved from sin, but we never really could get them to agree, to come to that scene and that seriousness and become a servant of the Lord somehow in their days. These two extremes of a joyful occasion, if you can call it that, in regard to the old story, and a very sad occasion, which we can call it that, are extremes about how we rear children and what happens along the way as this takes place. If we were to divide up these six topics in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, to a year's time, and talk about one of those topics each week. Not a serious, long, detailed conversation, but bringing the subject up and letting the conversation that we have go from the light conversation to a heavier, to a more meaningful set of words, conversation. Maybe before the year is out, since we'll pass by that some eight times during the course of that year, we'll have 48 weeks in time, and we'll talk about on the other 2 weeks our love for the Lord as we go to the 50 weeks of the year and our decision making to love the Lord the other 2 weeks, and we'll have enough time there with 4 extra weeks of time. There'll be some occasions where we won't bring any topic up, but these six are topics that are worth at least a week of time to talk about from year to year. As he talks about, "Let no man despise you, but be an example in your words. In the speech that we choose, the words that we say, it's an amazing story sometimes when we step outside the room and we listen to a group of young people talking together as to the words that are used and said. I know some coaches, and I've been in coaching situations a long time, and I know that there's some situations like this along the way. There's a young man that's preaching the gospel now over at Coffeyville, Mississippi. He's basically working with families there. They back up to 80, 85 in attendance. And he's working with young people there, about 26 of them altogether from those families, various ages of them. And his dad was one of the first students I ever worked with in the Training School for Better Service. His dad lived at Ruble, Mississippi, and his dad worked with us in this regard. And his dad was a football player that I first met. I was doing play-by-play announcing for the North Sunflower Academy Rebels. And doing the play-by-play announcing, going up into the press box and doing the announcing of the play-by-play events taking place and everything there, I would go and get the lineup on Thursday of the week so that I could read the names and call out the names to see if they were, as Brother J.L. would say back yonder a few years ago, accurate to be pronounced the way that that person would pronounce it. And this young man, unbeknownst to me, was sitting there in the dressing room. When I came into the dressing room and would go to the coaches' offices, they would know that I was coming there for that purpose. They would have a listing for me. And if there was a new guy, they would point him out, and I would call out a name and see if I had pronounced it correctly with you, and so forth. There's a way to pronounce Mark, and there's a way to pronounce Marcus, and there's a difference in the two. And they would nod as that. And along the way, when I left one day, this young man said to one of the other young men that was a member of the church there in Ruble, "Where does this man preach? Is he your preacher?" And of course the young man said, "Yes." And with that, he said, when he comes into this dressing room, the guys in here get quiet. This doesn't happen when other preachers come. They had a number of different ones that would come to speak to them and do devotional things with them and things of that nature during the course of the week. And he noted that that was different. "I want to go to church where he preaches." With that, Bob came to be there and be a part of the service with us. He brought his Bible with him. He read from his Bible what we were preaching. He became convinced this was the truth, and teaching of God's word was true. It all came about because of the way that when I walked into the dressing room, others didn't continue their conversation like they had. They didn't say the wild words that they were saying. They didn't use the type of vulgar words that they would speak one to another. They didn't use the type of words that would excite them to fight for the team and so forth. They would use quietness when I stepped in. When we go places and do things with the words that we speak, we're an influence. We're an example. And Paul says, don't let any man despise your youth, because as you go in a place and you speak what you speak and you do what you do, you're influencing somebody to say, that's the way I ought to speak, or the way I don't want to speak at all. And I wouldn't be around that person unless I had to be around that person ever. Let no man despise your youth in what you say, the words that you use. The true way is the words, of course, that are kind and helpful. The words that are good and godly. We'll see that as we go along to the first three of these points I want to make tonight. He says, secondly, be an example of a believer in your conversation. And the word conversation is used there in our English to originally in the King James is the idea of your manner of life, the manner that you go in life, the choices that you make in life to be the person, honest, dependable, helpful person in life. Be that person well known that when you drive an automobile and you ask to drive their vehicle and they say, yes, that's fine with me. It's not the case that that vehicle is going to come back in piecemeal fashion. It's going to come back as good as it can be with you. You're not going to be taking it down this road or that road. I remember a gospel preacher, I won't name him, but nevertheless he and his wife had a fireplace built at their house. And they were going to have some wood that they wanted to get for it. And there was one of the members of the congregation where he was that said, I've got plenty of wood. I've got it seasoned wood and it will give you some good heat and it'll quickly burn. And you just come right over and pick it up. With that, he and his wife decided that what they would do, since it wasn't being used during the week, they would use the church van. They could stack that wood on the seats in the van. They could stack the wood under the seats in the van. They could have that right there, and it would be fine. It would travel over there. We could open the side doors and pull out the wood, sticks one at a time. She would help him. He would help her, and it would all be done, and they'd have it in the house at the hearth. It would be ready for them when cool weather came. The one thing they didn't count on when they did this plan and got the vehicle loaded up, and it is funny in one way, they didn't count on somebody running a red light when they came up to an intersection. And naturally, his foot was to slam onto the brakes and stop that van. And of course, the wood not being tied in, bungee cords were unheard of in that day and time, came forward. He had a knot on his head that needed to be, attended to by a local physician at the hospital. His wife had not only a knot on her head, but she had a cut on her face that needed to be attended to in a hurry with minor stitches so there wouldn't be as much of a scar remaining on that skin of her face. They were in a mess. They were in a terrible situation. And of course, there were windshield that was burst out as well, and there were side windows that were burst out as well in that vehicle. The wood just went everywhere. I think you can imagine how that might have happened. But a reputation went along with that conversation of life. A reputation was for a long time. Don't loan that individual any of your vehicles. Don't loan that person because here is something that can happen. And it did happen. And it happened to the church bus. And that's what happened. Well, the van was needing to be replaced on the windows and the windshield. And he needed help of a doctor, and his wife did need a help of a surgeon. Manner of life that we live, the way that we do things in life, the decision making that we do, can be as innocent as thinking not any further than, well, it's a nice thing to load this wood on those seats and under those seats, and it'll be fine. It would have been fine. Had he been able to drive through the intersection, he'd have never known what would have taken place. But suddenly, when someone didn't respect the law and passed through that intersection and he was going to hit that individual, he slammed on the brakes to find a lot more of a reputation that he wanted to have. Along the way in life, we find ourselves making choices as to what we're going to be, the kind of work that we would do, the kind of service we will render. And talking with our young people in regard to the words they choose to speak and the manner of life they choose to live makes a difference with what they do and the influence they have. In the third place, he says, be an example of the believer in charity. Charity, the word for love. The idea of love in the sense of the love that we have for God-like love. How do we know that we love God? How do we know God loves us? Jesus explained this in John 14:15 when he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. One way in which he knows that we love him is that we're practicing what he asks us to do. What we're doing in life are in compliance with what he asks us to do. He asks us to be worshipers in spirit and in truth. He asks us to serve the Lord's cause as we live and see the needs of our fellow man and render needs to assistance to their needs as time goes along. I have an opportunity and to tell others, and the way that we've lived in life, being an honest and dependable person, caused Epaphroditus to be able to carry some of the goods and some of the services to the brethren at Philippi, because that was the way that his life was. They trusted him with it. And so it is that they loved him for it, and they loved what he did in bringing things to them. And they remembered him, and Paul mentions about the fact that he got very sick. Sick nigh unto death because of his service to the Lord. He was nigh unto death, but the Lord, Paul says, spared him, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I was sad enough that he was sick, but I would have sorrow upon sorrow if he had died as a result of that sickness. And his days of service, he served y'all over there, and I know you were interested in him, and he's better now. Paul was giving a report to them because he loved them and loved how they felt. Do we love others like that? And let them know when there's a trouble up ahead, there's a difficulty up ahead, there's something that needs to be attended to now, and don't just go on and on and on with it. The way that we love God, we keep His commandments. The way that we love Him and love our friends, Jesus said in John 15:14, you are my friends if you do those things I command you. Being a true friend of the Lord involves doing what and complying with what He's asked us to do and be. So it is that in these conversations of life, what words would we choose to show our love? What mannerisms would we practice to show that we love people, love our family, love God, love Jesus for what He's done for us? Those are conversations that I held with my children as we drove along the way and as we walked along the way. I didn't try to invent the wheel. I didn't try to go back and invent the ways to talk about various things in life. When I wanted to talk about these kind of things, of what Paul said to Timothy, this is a way to be a good example in your words you choose, the manner of life that you live, and the charity or love that you bestow upon others. What a blessing it is to have those conversations in life. Somewhere along the way, they're going to need those particular things just as well as we needed them when we were growing up, and it'll be a good thing to do. The song of invitation provided tonight, the mention of that song has been named for us, and I hope that you'll come to Jesus and obey the gospel tonight if you need to do so, as we stand and as we sing together.
Life free.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Let's turn to number 723.
I think everybody's partaking the Lord's Supper here tonight. Have before. Is there anybody that feels like you need to take the Lord's Supper tonight? All right.
Number 723. The song of Baal is leading in prayer. Thank you. Sing over again to me wonderful words of life. When people of their beauty sing wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teaching me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of keep on keeping on. Have a good week. Good week at school. Good to be with you tonight. God bless.
Good to be with you.
Always love this church. Love to be here. I'm going to help everybody. The young people we got, the young people we got at home that's not here. You know, everything about life.
I hope the rain is out.
Boy, this rain. They say it's going to be spotty for the next couple of days, but then it'll leave us. And we may be calling for the rain by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
God bless, man. Appreciate your prayer and thoughts about it. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. All right. Well, we go to our men's meeting. Yeah, we go on. All right. Hey, little man. Good to see you, Alex. You're growing and learning and doing good.